Part 3, Chapter 8, Which is Full of Poo. The moon in the middle of the sky had lost its radiance, and already the whole hemisphere was bright with the new day when Captain Harvey awoke from his bed in the red recliner and started back to his tree. The snow from the evening was gone, reduced to little creeks in the streets, and by the time he reached the cemetery, they too had disappeared, leaving only a clean, damp smell. The captain closed his eyes to better appreciate the aroma, and as soon as he did, he fell into a very deep hole.
"Hey!" squeaked a voice.
"Hey!"
echoed Harvey.
"Get off!"
"Get off who?"
"Get off me!"
"Where?"
"Here!"
"Prometheus!" said Harvey, recognizing his friend beneath him.
"Harvey!"
said Prometheus, recognizing his friend above him. A grave had been dug in anticipation of a funeral, and both Harvey and Prometheus had fallen in. They pulled themselves to their feet and brushed each other off.
"For a minute, I thought you were a heffalump," said Prometheus.
"A heffalump?" said Harvey. "What's that?"
"It's like a hippogriff," said Prometheus, "that can't fly."
"Do heffalumps fall into very deep holes?" said Harvey.
"Some of them do," said Prometheus, "but some of them don't.
You never can tell with heffalumps."
"No, you can't," said Harvey, looking at his arms and legs to make sure he wasn't a heffalump.
"Is this your donkey?"
"No," said Prometheus, looking at the four-legged animal that was in the hole with them. "His owner must be very sad to have lost him."
"Are you sure he's a donkey?" said Prometheus, caressing the animal's ears.
"What else could he be?" said Harvey.
"He could be a heffalump," said Prometheus.
"How do you know?"
"I don't know," said Prometheus.
"That's good enough for me," said Harvey.
The animal pawed up a skull, and the captain retrieved it. "Alas," he said, looking at the skull. "Poor Harvey. I knew him well. A fellow of infinite jest, of excellent fancy. But where are his jibes now, his gambols and songs?"
"Jibes and gambols?" said Prometheus.
[Footnote: To gamble is to skip or frisk about. A jibe, most commonly spelled with a G, is a taunt or sarcastic remark, and also a nautical term meaning to shift from one side to the other when running before the wind as a fore and aft sail or its boom. Back to the text.
"Jibes and gambols?" said Prometheus.
"Fleers and capers," said Harvey.
"Fleers and capers?" said Prometheus.
"Jibes and gambols," said Harvey.
"How do we get out of here?" said Prometheus, breaking the loop of conversation.
"We could dig our way to China," said Harvey.
"Then we'd be in a very deep hole in China," said Prometheus.
"So we would," said Harvey.
"We could play hide and seek and make it illegal to hide in this hole."
"Excellent," said Harvey. And at this he closed his eyes and began to count. While he did, Prometheus set the captain on the back of the heffalump, climbed upon his shoulders, and pulled himself out of the very deep hole. He went to get help, and found a man digging a grave.
"Excuse me," said Prometheus, "but my friend has fallen into a very deep hole."
"A very deep hole?" said the man.
"Like this one?"
The grave digger pointed to the hole he was digging.
"Yes," said Prometheus, "exactly like that one."
The man went to the edge and looked in.
"I don't see anyone down there."
"Not that hole," said Prometheus. "Another one, exactly like it."
"That's impossible," said the man. "No two holes are exactly alike. Just like no two obelisks are. That would invalidate physical space."
"It would also lead to less looking around," said Prometheus. "But will you help me anyway?"
"With pleasure," said the man. "I always like to see a very deep hole."
"A heffalump has also fallen in," said Prometheus.
"Of course he has," said the man. "Those damn things are always falling into very deep holes."
"Some of them don't," said Prometheus.
"Yes," said the man, "that is true."
They walked until they reached the very deep hole, and the man lowered two straps and pulled out the heffalump with Harvey on its back.
"Thank you," said Harvey.
"Thank you," said the heffalump.
"You know," said the captain, turning to the man, "you look very familiar."
"Just call me Hermes," said the man. "Hermes T. Jones, at your service."
"Art thou then," spake Harvey, "that god among gods, messenger of the heavens, and leader of souls to the underworld?"
"The very same," said the man.
"A shrine! A shrine!" cried Harvey. "We must build a shrine!"
When the captain was through shouting, Hermes informed him there was no need to build a shrine, for there was already a section of the cemetery dedicated to his services. When asked if they could see it, he took them, Prometheus on foot and Harvey astride his heffalump, to an elevated section in the middle of the graveyard. As soon as they arrived, Harvey dismounted, and the heffalump wandered off and fell into a very deep hole.
"Here it is," said Hermes, "the Garden of the Phalli."
"The Garden of the Phalli?" echoed Harvey.
"In ancient Greece," said the man, "it was a tradition to set up pillars in front of the houses with a head called a Hermes to honor me, the phallic god. With the passage of time, the phalli fell out of fashion as yard ornaments and were brought to the cemeteries instead. Of course, some phalli remained in the houses."
"You never can tell with phalli," said Prometheus.
"No, you can't," said Hermes, caressing an enormous black obelisk. Harvey and Prometheus thanked Hermes for his help, then said goodbye and started down the road. A flock of clouds was crossing the sky, grazing on the golden light, headed for the peaks in the distance, and Harvey and Prometheus stopped to watch them. The captain, filled with the sublimity of the sight, wondered how his author might ever describe it on paper. How could an artist, filling the page with so many noisy and restless words, capture the silent grandeur of this simple scene? How could he isolate the picture upon the endlessness of the sky? He could use fewer words, perhaps, and try to tempt the reader to reflect on what he saw. Maybe he could use just one word. Maybe it would be worth a try. Mountains. Clouds. Mountains. Clouds. After a while, a blackbird sliced across the scene, and Harvey took it into his soul. He became a blackbird, flying over the trees. He ate worms and berries. He suffered blackbird hunger. He used blackbird language, and he died a blackbird's death. Then he became a dead blackbird. He swelled, stank, and decayed. Animals and insects dismembered him. He became a skeleton. He became dust. He mingled with the air. Then he said to Prometheus, "Ah, how long we were fooled! For what are we? What do we become when new life sprouts from our remains? Trunks, foliage, roots. We are embedded in the earth. We are shrubs and bushes. We are towering oaks growing by the side of the road." And as he spoke, his voice became deep, relaxed, and quiet. With his mouth closed and his tongue touching the roof of his mouth, his abdomen expanded and filled him with air. Then his weight sank to his feet and rooted him to the ground. A breeze rose, and he began to sway. moving from heavy to light, flexed to relaxed, full to empty. And Prometheus lay down in the shade of his arboreal friend and drifted off to sleep.